His becomes ours. See, God's story begins when He made us because He wanted a relationship with us. But because of sin and darkness, well, that kind of messed that up. So His story becomes a story of redemption. He wants to make everything right. So He sends Jesus, His Son, to this world to buy us with His love. I mean, God became flesh to be with us, to have passion, to have compassion, to give us mercy and grace. He became flesh to give His life for us on the cross. I mean, that is what He did. He went through the agony and pain. He was beaten, bruised, crushed, and died on the cross to pay a ransom for us, for you, for me, for this world. You know, the first Easter Sunday was so good because the day before had been so bad. See, Good Friday commemorates the crucifixion and Easter Sunday, the resurrection. The Saturday in between commemorates desperation. You see, the spear had slashed His heart and His tongue had gone silent. Death was absolute. No one was betting on resurrection. See, in God's story, we will see how we can get unstuck from Saturday and move into Sunday. I want you to turn in God's story to Matthew chapter 27 with me. Matthew chapter 27, we're going to be looking at verses 62 through 64. So in God's story, in Matthew 27, 62 through 64, it says, "The next day, the one after preparation day, the chief priest and the Pharisees went to Pilate. 'Sir,' they said, 'we remember that while he was still alive, that deceiver said, after 3 days, I will rise again. So give the order for the tomb to be made secure until the third day. Otherwise, his disciples may come and steal the body and tell the people that he has been raised from the dead. This last deception will be worse than the first.'" You see, first of all, Saturday was a no hope, no courage day. Desperation Saturday. I mean, the day before the resurrection was no courage day. The movement of Christ seemed totally defeated. Jesus' body was moldering in the grave. The disciples hid in every corner in Jerusalem for fear of a cross that would bear their name. And while Jesus' opponents celebrated His death, His disciples, they were hiding in fear that they too would receive a cross. See, the disciples hid behind closed doors in fear. You know, Saturday was a no-hope day. It could have been a day of hope. I mean, considering all the times that Jesus promised big things would happen on the third day, Saturday was a no-plans day. I mean, they didn't plan on seeing the death defeater on Sunday morning. They didn't plan to talk to Him. They planned to embalm Him. I mean, the disciples did not trust Jesus' promises of a resurrection. In Mark 9, 31 through 32, He says, "Because He was teaching His disciples, He said to them, 'The Son of Man is going to be betrayed into the hands of men. They will kill Him, and after 3 days, He will rise.' But they did not understand what He meant and were afraid to ask Him about it." You see, the women disciples did not intend to celebrate Jesus' resurrected body, but to embalm His dead body. You see, we too can easily get stuck in Saturday, living with a Saturday state of mind. I mean, no hope, no courage, no plans, believing that death is the final end. I mean, everyone dies, but we try to avoid that reality. I mean, we brush our teeth, we eat good foods, we pay our bills, we raise our kids. You know, Romeo and Juliet died. JFK died. Princess Diana died. You see, love gets buried in a tomb. Poetry gets buried in a tomb. Is this all there is? You know, Max Lucado, he tells a story of his brother, Dee. D was an outgoing, friend-making, joy-bringing kind of guy. He was a personal ambassador for his shy younger brother, Max. Now, in his teen years, he met a bootlegger and alcohol trapped D. For 4 decades, he drank away his health, his friends, his jobs, and his money. But at the age of 54, D made a serious decision to join AA. I mean, his life and marriage stabilized. But the years of alcohol and smoking 3 packs a day left him in a very fragile health. He began to have chest pains. He was rushed to the emergency room by ambulance. Now, by the time that his wife, Donna, arrived with one of their sons, D was gone. I mean, they went in to see his now dead body. And one of his hands, it was resting on his thigh with his fingers curled in the international sign language from, "I love you." And Max Lucado, he says he knows why he did that. See, he moved out of Saturday into Sunday. Out of desperation into hope. Out of fear into courage. By God's grace, he moved from Saturday to Sunday. You see, Second Sunday, Resurrection Day, is a day of eternal love, life, and hope. You know, Mary Magdalene, she came to Jesus' tomb stuck in this Saturday state of mind. I mean, look with me, John chapter 20, verses 10 through 18. In John chapter 20, verses 10 through 18, it says, "Then the disciples, they went back to their homes. But Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb, and she saw 2 angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, 'Woman, why are you crying?' 'They have taken my Lord away,' she said, 'and I don't know where they have put him.' Now at this, she turned around and she saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. 'Woman,' he said, 'why are you crying? Who is it that you are looking for?' Now thinking that he was a gardener, she said, 'Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him.' Jesus said to her, 'Mary.' She turned towards him and cried out in Aramaic, 'Rabboni,' which means 'teacher.' Jesus said, 'Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet returned to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am returning to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God.' Mary Magdalene, she went to the disciples with the news, 'I have seen the Lord.' And she told them that he had said these things to her." You see, the empty tomb did not take away her despair and grief. The angels did not take away her despair and grief. Mary Magdalene, the one Jesus befriended and delivered from demonic oppression, had the sadness of Saturday covering her heart. See, Jesus, alive from the dead, meets with Mary Magdalene, calling her by name. You know, Mary thought wrongly that Jesus was a gardener. And when everybody thought Jesus was dead, no one called him Lord except for one, Mary Magdalene. I mean, Jesus speaks Mary's name and she realizes that Jesus, her Lord, is alive from the dead. Mary Magdalene. I mean, Mary had buried more than a friend. She had buried the only person who ever helped her. She had been afflicted by 7 demons. And now in the Bible, the number 7 typically represents completeness. So apparently Mary was completely afflicted by paranoia, depression, epilepsy. I mean, we don't know everything. But she was emotionally disabled. And people must have avoided her. But not Jesus. He befriended her. Now in him, Mary found a friend and a future. But now her friend and her future was buried. And her world was stuck on Saturday. I mean, she missed the miracle of the empty tomb. It didn't lift her spirits. She missed the message of the talking spirits, the angels. They didn't open her mind. Why did Jesus personally appear to Mary Magdalene? Because that's just the kind of person that Jesus is. He is full of mercy and full of compassion. And Max Lucado says, Jesus could have given Mary Magdalene the stars. I mean, he owned every one of them. He could have entrusted her with power because all authority had been given to him. He could have given her the ability to do great works, for he had just defeated hell and death. But when it came time to honor this devoted servant, who was the only one still calling him Lord, what Jesus did was this. He gave her himself. He called her by name. See, are you in that season of darkness? I mean, this could be a good season for you. I mean, during the times that we're stuck in Saturday, God doesn't get ticked off with us. I mean, God is patient with us. I mean, listen, Jesus is also calling your name. See, in God's story, it may have been Sunday morning, but the disciples were in a Saturday state of mind. They were stuck on Saturday. In your story, do you ever feel like you bet the farm on the wrong team? Or are you hooked your wagon on the wrong star? Placed your eggs in the wrong basket? Just when you think you have found someone who can get you out of this, either they let you down or worse, still they die. I mean, isn't death the ultimate slap in the face? You know, Micah 7, 18 and 19 says, where is another God like you who pardons the sins of the survivors among his people? You cannot stay angry with your people for you love to be merciful. Now, once again, you will have compassion on us. You will tread our sins beneath your feet. You will throw them into the depths of the ocean. See, unless you find an answer for death's question, you're stuck on Saturday. I mean, are you passing through that season of darkness? See, God is patient with you. During these Saturdays, we assume that God is ticked off with us. We assume that he crossed his arms and he stepped away and he's saying, why don't they just wake up? I keep sending them miracles and messages and messengers. I'm giving up. No, this story says God doesn't give up. He just keeps coming and he keeps talking and he just keeps pursuing. See, his message to us is Saturday will always be followed by Sunday. See, weeping may go on all night, but joy comes with the morning. So be patient and watch. See, you may be stuck on Saturday, but God has already flipped the calendar. You know, in the coffee break room of heaven, if you look on the calendar, it says Sunday. It's Sunday. It's Sunday. And God is inviting you to move from a Saturday state of mind into Sunday. And really, the choice is yours. I mean, his invitation to you is to move on. Move from the last day of death to the day of first day of life. Jesus enables us to do that. You know, he enables us to do that. He moves us from a Friday and Saturday of death and disillusionment to Sunday of victory. See, your way into that victory is through a door, though. It's through a door. Jesus Christ. I mean, Jesus said himself, I am the door, and whoever enters through me will be saved. He will come in and go out and find pasture. And all of the Easter stories tell us, all of these Easter stories tell us, Mary Magdalene was looking for Jesus' dead body to anoint, but it was missing from the tomb. Two angels speak to her, but she is so upset, she misses them. She keeps talking about her Lord, and that he has been taken away. I mean, it took Jesus coming to her and calling her by name before she recognizes what had happened. And you have your Fridays and Saturdays, days that are dark and days that are lost. And in those days when you can't find the door out, do as Mary did. Keep calling Jesus Lord. Keep calling him and keep looking for him. Because if you keep calling him Lord, he'll call you by name. And when he does, you will turn and find the door to an eternity of Sundays. You see, that is God's story. You know, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. But for God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through Him. That's God's story. And our story needs God's story. Because as we have already talked about, sang about, meditated about, our life is dark with sin. Because of evil and darkness in this world, God sent Jesus to die on the cross. To die on that cross. And as Steve mentioned during communion time, Jesus was beaten. He was flogged in the middle of the night under the cover of stars. But yet, He didn't go through all that for nothing. He didn't just die on the cross and be buried in the grave. Because today, we celebrate. He rose. He's alive. And that's the good news of the story. Jesus is alive. And the question is, do you want Him in your story? Do you want Him in your story? Do you need Him to be King of your life? You see, God's story is that Jesus came to be born King of our lives and to die King of our lives, our Savior and Lord. Now, to make Him your story, you have to accept Him. I'm going to have the praise team come back up here. They're going to come back up here, and we're going to sing what I call a song of decision, but yet it's not just a song.